Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Jonathan Bixby, CEO of Tiger Royalties and Investments, a company making serious waves across decentralized AI and Bitcoin-linked investments. With Tiger's Tau Alpha subnet now generating nearly $70,000 a month just weeks after launch, and fresh strategic moves, including a £250,000 cornerstone investment into Tau Strategies Singapore, plus a 26% stake in Bitcoin Treasury Pioneer Standard Strategies, Tiger is rapidly building a diversified and future-focused blockchain portfolio. We'll be discussing what all this means, where it's going, and why Tiger might just be one of the most undervalued plays in the space right now. So welcome, Jonathan. Welcome back to the podcast. It's great to have you back.
Thanks, Phil. Nice to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. How's life treating you in Canada?
It's good. I mean, it's busy. Markets are fun and busy right now, but things are good. Thank you.
Certainly are. Yeah. I mean, so Jonathan, let's start with the bigger picture. I mean, Tiger's been evolving rapidly. When you were last on, we talked about the Arok.vc. But can you walk us through the broader strategy behind your recent push into decentralized AI and Bitcoin treasury investments?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's two mega trends coming together. So if you sort of think about trend number one, obviously, the world is awash in liquidity and money. Every 4 years, there's a cycle. That cycle is what we call crypto summer. I think we are, just like you guys in the UK right now, in a heat wave, starting a heat wave in crypto summer. So that's one trend. And that's obviously very tied to global liquidity, money printing, and debt refinance, which is a huge topic and both an opportunity and a challenge. And then the other side of it is this massive boom in AI. And what I've realized on the AI side is that AI and crypto are perfect partners in marriage. And the reason is that the agent boom, the agents need to transact. And those transactions, I believe very firmly, are going to be in stablecoins and crypto. And then the second point on that is there is a whole world of centralized AI, obviously led by ChatGPT and Claude and Meta and Google. And there's an appetite, a massive appetite for decentralized AI. So I think that those two trends come together to form what is the mega trend of this cycle, which is crypto and AI, and that's why the BitTensor and Tau ecosystem is so exciting for us.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, we've obviously mentioned this Tau strategy, and I've been trying to kind of break it down into a sort of an analogy. Is it sort of the BitTensor side of things is like an AI version of Bitcoin, and instead of using that computer power that we know like Bitcoin miners do, you're effectively using that computer power to train and share some AI models. I suppose like teaching a computer to recognize speech or, you know, write code or make some decisions. So, and then obviously you get paid in these Tau tokens, a bit like Bitcoin would be if you were doing, you know, the mining. And then Tau is the reward that you kind of get for contributing that intelligence instead of the computing power. Is that a fair analogy?
Yeah, I think that's actually a very fair analogy. I take it one step further and say the brilliance of the Bitcoin white paper was to understand incentives and trust, right? So this idea of how do we live in this world where we don't know each other, but we can trust each other. That's where proof of work came in. And that's the brilliance of the white paper. I think the brilliance of BitTensor is saying we also live in a world where people need incentives to do work. And so coming to your analogy, the idea is if I'm going to create a business in AI, do I want to pay ChatGPT for the underlying tokens for that? Or hey, do I want to be an entrepreneur, own my ecosystem and get rewarded into your excellent analogy, something like Bitcoin, which is 21 million Taus ever produced. And I think that is a fantastic way to incentivize people to build AI on top of crypto. So yeah, sure. That's the idea.
So basically, you've bought something which you refer to as a subnet. No, obviously, I know as a subnet is something that you use for masking within the whole IP range. This is a subnet, which is kind of like, I guess, owning your own private AI mine inside that BitTensor ecosystem. So obviously that was what you referenced in the RNS, that it's already making around circa 70,000 a month, which is about $2,300 a day in Tau. And it's only been live for 4 weeks. So it sounds like it's working well for you. But how do you potentially see that scaling up? How scalable is that 70,000 a month?
Well, I can give you sort of some analogies. If you look at there's about 100, don't quote me on it, but 120 subnets right now total in the world. we're somewhere around the, at least last time I checked, 70 to 90 range. So we're still early. Obviously, it's only been 4 weeks. If you go to the top 10 or the top 20, Schutz is a good example of that, just to give you a sense of scale. They're at about 200,000 US a day. So a lot of room to scale, both in terms of our subnet at Tiger and then all the other subnets that we see as possibilities. And the analogy that I would give on that, which I gave in the RNS that we put out when we first bought our subnet, is this is like buying real estate in Mayfair, right? So the idea is these businesses are getting a footprint in, and I believe first mover advantage is going to matter because as the subnets grow, and just to remind you, there's only one per day forever that can be created, I think that real estate is going to become more and more and more valuable. So not only the tau that's received is going to go up, but the actual value of that real estate, I believe, is going up.
Okay, Jonathan. Now that is all very interesting. Now I want you to explain everything that you do in Tiger to the man who knows nothing.
Yeah, so Tiger is a proxy on what I think is the most exciting megatrends, right? So obviously we've talked about two of them already, crypto and AI, and we've really tried to focus. Obviously, there's so many things we could do, but we sort of started this idea around meme coins and the opportunity there. We've progressed that to AI plus crypto. That's really what we're trying to do. So if you look at the investments that we've publicly disclosed, right? We started, Phil discussed Aroc. Aroc is an agent. That means it is full AI investing in crypto meme coins. And we can talk deep about Aroc as we move forward. We talked about our Tau subnet, the Tiger Alpha subnet. We've done an investment into a Tau strategies company in Singapore, and we can get into that. And then the Standard Strategies investment, which is the one that we just announced, is there is a mega trend, as you guys know, in the UK around BTC strategy and doing a treasury for tech companies. I think that's a fantastic approach. What I don't know is which ones are going to win. And so what I really like about what Standard did is they said, you know what, we're going to take a portfolio of these. We're going to take some Metaplanet, we're going to take some Strategy, we're going to take some SWC, whatever those are. And I think that's a great approach because you never know how much debt some of these guys are going to go into. You never know how they're going to manage the treasury. You never know if they're going to be overvalued or undervalued. I really like the idea of a public company almost taking an ETF approach and investing across all of these companies, both nascent ones, early stage ones. You guys probably saw Tau L this week announce some things. You're going to see others. I love the approach of investing across the sector. So, Kevin, now to answer your question, we are trying to give a proxy to UK investors to get into this space and democratize it for those people that can't get into these seed rounds, can't get into these CLNs, can't get into these companies. That's the idea.
So the BTC thing, the £250,000 that you invested, what sort of percentage of that company are you gonna own, or is it an ETF, or what is the situation?
Yeah, so we own about 26 to 27%. It's an early stage Canadian company. I know the founders very well. So I started an exchange with these founders a long time ago. They're Bitcoin natives. And they just identified this super cool idea, which is everyone's excited about treasury companies. Why don't we give Canadian retail investors the idea or the opportunity to play across multiple? It's very simple. Some of the best ideas are simple. But if you want alpha across all of them, you can play in standard strategies. I really like it.
It's like supermarket.com of BTC
Treasury company.
scenarios,
Treasury
yeah.
company. That's a good
And
one. Yeah,
treasury
exactly.
companies. It's, I mean, and I like it. And obviously this week it must have already gone up, you would imagine, if they've invested in
Yeah,
anything.
the treasury opportunity is huge. I mean, it's a very smart thing for companies to do, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, I have a couple of questions because a few of the guys asked me to ask you, and I think we've touched on them. But looking at Bittersensor and Teo, can you see some great AI services running their various subnets? And where are your plans for the Tiger Alpha subnet? I'm sorry, what are your plans?
Sure. So absolutely. The way I look now at Tau, and I'm a firm believer in Tau because of the people behind it, Barry Silbert, who is Grayscale, is behind Yuma, which is building on Tau. I firmly believe Tau is going to actually be the winner in this cycle. So the answer is anything you can do in AI, every agent, every idea in AI will be a subnet. That's the idea. So every chat, and there's three or four chats already, grabbing AI infrastructure, doing AI sports betting, all of those things will be done on subnets, and those will just proliferate over time. So I believe if you were to start an AI business today, you are way better off to start it on a subnet than you are to be giving 50 or 60% of your revenue away to any of these big guys for credits. So that's number one. In terms of the
Or you potentially do the small model, small language models for individuals, because then you're not giving anything away to anybody, then I presume.
You could put your own language model on there, and then most importantly, you get incentivized for other people using your model. So you are, the way I think about it, is the entrepreneur, right? You have the incentive to create innovation. It's decentralized, it's out of government control, it's on the crypto rails. Why wouldn't you do that? So I think that's the narrative that's going to win in this cycle.
Yeah, Priority AI are doing that with small business, but small language models, and also Narwhal, which is a company that we deal with, is also creating a bot, if you like, that's going to be able to be the salesperson, and they're doing it as a large language model themselves. So what you're saying is, if they have that asset themselves, then they can benefit from selling that asset, if you like, through this process, and you guys then get a cut of that as it goes through the system. Is that
Exactly correct. That's exactly correct. You are incentivized to create entrepreneurship in AI. That's and I just think that's a winning thesis.
Well, I think this is the thing, right? It's trying to explain why there's patterns that matter in the real world, right? It's not because obviously a lot of people go, oh, the share price is going up and this is fantastic, but actually it's about understanding at the moment, Kev, all of the largest, AI companies, whether it's OpenAI or Google or Meta, they control everything. They can shut you out. API limit, censorship. They whack up the cost, they decide it's not free anymore. Whereas if you've got this kind of global AI marketplace where the best AI models win, you could be a researcher out in Africa, right? And you can still compete on the network, which you can't do in any other way. And I guess that's it, isn't it? That's what the advantage is.
Yeah, it's protecting it because ultimately the people who are going to control these large language models could actually control the world if we don't have a safety net. Is that a fair summation, Jonathan, or not?
Yeah, I'm less concerned about the AI taking over the world in the short term. So I think you're right, Kevin, in terms of maybe in the long term. I think of it more as control on to what Charles said about tokens, right? So all of a sudden the token just got jacked up 2x. All of a sudden what I'm doing is not appropriate for Meta, right? So it's just the idea that I can build on these ecosystems and just get shut down through my terms and services that I have with those big players. And we all know those big players don't really care about me. They're going to care about their business models and their
No,
politics.
no. I mean, we anyone who's worked in kind of SEO or ranking or SERPs, Google changes the policy, your website can, drop down 10 pages and then your business is toast. But I guess, in my mind, the way you look at it is, crypto versus fiat. The whole point of decentralization with Bitcoin is that, no one government controls the flow of money. And it's exactly the same thing. You don't have a few very powerful companies controlling the AI chatbots and large language models. You have it decentralized so anyone can open it and anybody can access it. And I think the most important thing is that it self-improves because the best models get rewarded and the poor models get nothing. And that's the bottom line, isn't it, Jonathan?
It's truly democratic. That's a great way of thinking about it, right? Which is if you get trash
Yeah.
model, you make more money. It's just super, it's capitalism at its best, let's just say.
So the last time you came on, Jonathan, we waxed lyrical about the tokens, and that was Arab. So you then bought in and were helping to promote Arab. I think that was the deal. Yeah. So how's that gone, for one? Is Arab higher than it was when you first began? And are we expecting more of those deals? Because that was what your play was the last time we spoke to you.
So doing incredibly well. So Arok again is an AI agent, so it's weird to talk about it as a person, but I sort of will personify it for this conversation, right? So Arok, the investor, has improved models, and we put out a press release, I think, when we did the 250 follow-on investment into Arok about some of its success, right? So the number of trades it's doing, the success on those trades, the model has shifted to only proprietary trading for investors. So the idea is Arok is not going to the internet and trying to get people's money in anymore. They're trying to work with larger institutional and family offices to give them an edge in the crypto meme coin trading. And that was why we put the 250,000 in. So we put the 250,000 in for Arok to actually invest our money on our behalf in the meme coin space. And the answer is, without getting into anything that's non-public, I'm super impressed with Arok. So both the speed of this market makes it so that you need to be an AI 24/7 or someone on some sort of stimulants to be able to trade market. A-Rock is like someone on stimulants. That's the way I think about it, which is 24/7 on the market all the time, making thousands of trades a day, and it's looking really good. It's looking
It's
really
made
good.
25,259 trades, which is over 601 transactions per day. It's incredible, really.
It's pretty incredible. And Phil, just to back up, that's speeding up. That's not slowing down. I would say it's even orders of magnitude above that now. Like, it is going all the time, in and out, making trades. It's psycho. It's crazy.
So it's gone from a 37.5% win rate to an 88.89% plus 137% relative improvement as well. So it's learning all the time and improving.
It's a regression system that is constantly looking at how it does better and better on a per second basis. It's pretty incredible use of AI, frankly.
So Jonathan, I mean, I know you can't answer this question, but I have to ask you anyway. So what is it worth? I mean, you've invested what, £500,000, have you, in Aero in total,
Yeah,
or is
so
it?
we have two different investments. One was we helped build it in our incubation model, and then the second investment was actually here's money to manage. Two different investments.
Okay, so the money to manage. I mean, what is the look forward? I mean, are you trying to double that money in a year? Are you trying to double it in 10 seconds? I don't know. What is the deal?
It is in A-Rock's hands. A-Rock is very capable. We have given some parameters around the answer to that, which I can't give publicly. But what I can say is every day and every week that goes by, it's getting better. And then I think you have to tie all of what we're doing into larger crypto cycle, which is we haven't hit the banana zone yet. And when the banana zone happens, it's going to be violent and straight up. And
So
it's
is the banana zone when your taxi driver tells you to buy Bitcoin? Is that point?
Yeah, I know it's when the
It's
taxi
the
driver
day
tells
before
you.
that, Phil,
And
isn't
the day
it?
before, yeah.
No, it's Phil, it's even worse. It's when the taxi driver says, "Hey, I've heard of this meme coin. Bitcoin is it's meme coin 77 alpha DEXA that you got to get into. That's where it's going to be." Yeah.
So can I push you on it and say, has it made money? Is it worth more than when you put it in?
The answer is yes. I can probably give that as a
Okay, and even if you can't, you did, so that was all good. So
Wow.
the scenario then is, okay, so we've got this Arok, and that was one opportunity that you were talking about. But when we interviewed you the last time, you said, no, there's maybe 10 to 12, 20 of these that could be replicated. Is that happening, or has it happened, or is it going to happen?
So happening will happen, and we are announcing as we finalize these deals. So just to take a full step back from the last time we chatted, obviously we had Liberation Day, markets tanked, crypto tanked. We held our breath for about a month, and I think everyone did in the world. And now, as we move out towards what I think again is banana zone crypto summer, you are going to see more activity from us. So when Liberation Day happened, just like every business, we just said, "Okay, let's just take a pause, take a breath, see where this is going to go." And frankly, markets are back to all-time highs, and Bitcoin's going to be there very soon. So more happening. Obviously, you saw an announcement today. We are going to continue to be active in the market.
Do you see with this Bitcoin treasury policy that it looks like companies are taking on, that actually now that corporate demand for Bitcoin is going to be much greater than it was, rather than just in people's hands, if you like, that actually this is just going to drive the Bitcoin price anyway, regardless of, because institutional money is there and coming, and you look at Smarter Web Company, it's got a market capitalization of 600 million from nothing, and they're going to buy Bitcoin for sure. So surely this upward pressure is going to make a difference. Or are we going to have a situation where some of these whales who still own a lot of stock are going to start dripping their stock back into the market? What's your thoughts?
Well, three data points. So I'll give you data and then I'll give you thoughts. So data point one is there's less coins on exchange than there ever has been. And that's been going down over time. So there are less people that are willing to take their coins and put them on exchange. I don't think that's a security thing. I think that's because people are in for the long haul. Two, to what you just said, I'll just give you a data point. Michael Saylor announced a buy-in strategy this week that is 3 years of mining Bitcoin. So 3 years of production was purchased by one company this week. As companies continue to raise money and as the public continues to see debasement, the big beautiful bill in the United States is not going to help, is going to help this, but it's not going to help the United States. As you have to print more money and go into more debt, your fiat currency, that money that you think is real, is simply ice and it's melting out of your hands. And so if you can't see that as a company and as an individual, you are not seeing what's so clearly in front of your face. And these companies that are coming to market and saying, I'm making money in a business, I don't want to hold that money in melting ice anymore. I want to hold it in something that's, not going to get melted away through debasement. And debasement is coming and it's going to be more and more and more furious. And so there is a supply shock that is going to happen in Bitcoin, which is going to precipitate the banana zone and the next leg up. It's inevitable. I can't tell you what week it's going to be. I think it's in the next 8 weeks. If I was going to predict, it's coming. It has to come, is the answer. Oh, sorry, one last data point. Look at the BlackRock ETF, fastest ETF ever in the history of the world to get to 70 billion. That just tells you everything you need to know. Investors, family offices, and countries and companies are now moving into what they think is solid money. That's the reality.
Yeah. And are we going to move into a situation where we could see, the Bitcoin being affected or not affected, but even backed by gold or silver or something like that in the future? Because, in effect, these two are running side by side in terms of long-term value. We're trying to say this is not a fiat currency, and so is this not a fiat currency. What's your thoughts on that?
I don't think they merge together. I'm a Bitcoin maxi. I think Bitcoin cannibalizes gold. That's what I think happens. I think that over time,
We have to
having
say, ah, no, Jonathan, you can't say that.
that's why you have different opinions on the show. I think having big heavy metal that I can lug around in a backpack versus a Trezor that I can put in my back pocket that has way more money on it makes a lot more sense. That's my perspective.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think on that note, Jonathan, obviously, you're also chairman at Sicel AI, which recently also made headlines by adopting a Bitcoin treasury reserve strategy, joining the likes of MicroStrategy and Tesla in using Bitcoin as a store of value to diversify the balance sheet and drive those long-term returns. Can you just talk us through the thinking behind that move and, how it aligns with Sicel's broader vision, please?
Yeah, so Sicel obviously is a list is a company with AI autonomous agents. They have launched two right now, Lucy in the AI recruitment space and Eve in the sales agent space. They are native AI group, right? So Sicel is built by people who have been in AI even before ChatGPT was released. And the reality is that like every other company we talked about today, they are making revenue and they don't want that to be debased. So it makes a lot of sense. I'm sorry, not only making revenue, but raising money, as you saw, we just raised with Clear. The reality is that why would, again, you have that money in British pounds when you can hold that money in Bitcoin? So a percentage of the treasury that was raised or the money that was raised is going into treasury, revenue goes into treasury. And again, it's the same principle that I discussed before. It's a very smart long-term move for any company. And any company that I'm involved in is going to attempt to do that with extra cash.
Yeah, it's an interesting play, isn't it, really? Because effectively, what you're doing is as the Bitcoin price goes up, it's based in dollars. And effectively, all we're saying is there's going to be huge deflationary pressures on the dollar, and it's going to go down in value. It's already begun, and it's going to continue.
Yeah, I mean, if you really want to get a good indication of that, Kevin, like don't look at charts of Bitcoin to Great British pounds or US dollars. Look at it to the Venezuelan bolivar or the Egyptian currency or the Nigerian currency. Look at it at currencies that truly debase and you want a return. If I was in Egypt or Venezuela or any of these or Zimbabwe, the return on your fiat into crypto, into BTC is so much higher on those charts, right? And so if you want to see what accelerated debasement looks like, go look at countries that have done it. It's
Yeah,
fascinating.
tell me about it. When I moved to Egypt here, the US dollar to Egyptian pound was 8. It's now 50.
Yep.
Now,
So look
okay,
at
that's
that
a
BTC chart, right? That
yeah.
BTC chart blows your mind.
Yeah,
Yes.
it would be a factor of 12 higher than it than just the dollar one, probably. So yeah, it would be you would probably be talking about a BTC of well over $1 million. in real terms, I mean, in what
That's
you can
correct.
actually in what you
Real
can actually
wow.
buy.
That's right.
So yeah, very interesting. So how, in terms of CYK, what do you think is going to happen? Are you going to have more of these spots more into more areas, or how do you imagine the business is going to develop, and how is the revenue, increasing?
Yeah, so the answer is yes. So AI business analyst Samson is next. They named them funny names and they put actual AI avatars, which is cool.
Then Delilah after that.
There you go. There you go. So there are going to be different.
I hope she doesn't cut his hair, otherwise we're in trouble.
There are going to be different areas where businesses need to have this kind of support, and any area in a business is going to need this, right? So the pitch to businesses is, do you want to build a recruitment agent? We've been doing it for 2 years. Do you want to build a sales agent? We've been doing it for 2 years. Here are our references. So the answer is more of the same, and we're raising more money to scale the business. That's a really good sign, right? When people are raising money to scale and hire, it's because it's working. It's working.
Yeah, I think you need to tell the UK market that that's a really good thing. But I think we're learning a lesson right now because of these crypto BTC plays that, you can raise and still the price goes up afterwards. Because we've had 2 or 3 years of mediocre raises that have been slashing the price just to get the money in. But the liquidity now is coming back, and I think it's going to tipple over to some of these real life stocks as well, especially in the resource space. But I know you don't believe in that, but I really do believe that some of it is going to tipple into gold, silver, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, stocks, because they are also a feeling that you are protecting your fiat currency, if you like.
Yeah, and Kevin, I actually do agree with you there. I think I disagreed on them coming together, but I agree this is going to float all boats. And I'm sensing that energy in the UK market in a way that I haven't sensed it since COVID, honestly. Like it's a fun place
Yeah.
to be. We're not all crying in the pub right now, which is cool.
Yeah.
It feels a little bit like GameStop if you go around, Jonathan, a few years ago. Obviously, the fundamentals are different, but that kind of that energy is the same, isn't it?
The energy is, it's fun, man. It's fun when people are making money and putting money at play and risking. And that's the fun part of doing what I do and probably what you guys do. It's fun.
Yeah, and I guess the flip side of it, obviously, when we're talking about like Bitcoin or cryptocurrency in general, we're in the summer at the moment. The winter will come. I don't think anybody in the space thinks that it won't come. Whether it's a year, 2 years, 3 years down the line. And it's worth, before we get like really ahead of ourselves, I mean, Bitcoin fell 70% in 2022. It was, down to as low as around 17 grand in late 2023. So when it does come around, this is what we're talking about. There's going, most of these Bitcoin treasury stocks, some of them will have to sell the Bitcoin to keep the lights on. The ones that are left over, kind of like the dot-com boom slash bust, they're going to rocket, is generally what I'm thinking when we come to the next summer. But I guess it's how you're positioning yourself. When the times are good, you're making hay, but how are you going to protect yourself when the times are not so good in a year or two? And that's going to differentiate the winners from the losers.
I think that is absolutely correct. There will be overexuberance in the market. It always happens. It will happen. I am steadfast in my 5 to 10 year outlook, which is Bitcoin's going to win. All roads lead to Bitcoin. And so I have a much longer time frame in terms of my investment, timeline. Like I'm thinking 2030, 2035. And if you take that approach and get in at the right values for some of these companies, you are going to do extremely well if you're patient.
Yeah, I think my view is that it's probably the same as you, Jonathan, in terms I think if people take a longer term view, it's going to work. I'm still a bit worried about the pure play BTC treasuries, because if they don't create an income stream to protect themselves to not have to sell, then that puts them in a very, very vulnerable position. So I'm looking at things like SWC, and I hope they buy a business or create a business that will create revenue to keep them going during those periods. But what I can see with your business, and I can see it with Priority One, I can see it with some of the others as well, that and even your CYK, you have revenue streams and you're doing a BTC. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
That
and
method to me just makes more sense. I mean, I don't know, could be proved wrong, but
no, I think Kevin, you are 100% correct. I think the way if I was listening to this podcast and I was saying, how do I value these companies? How should I think about valuing these companies? One way to think about it is if you think debasement is real, right? Inflation is real, and potentially you think that what the government tells you is inflation might not be real. So the way I look at inflation is it's how much money is printed. And on average, we're printing about 8 to 10% more money per year. How can you print that money and not have 8 to 10% inflation? I'm not a mathematician, but that's my base case, right? So now the question is, when you're valuing these treasury companies, the real key insight is how much leverage do they have, right? So if they have no leverage, right, you're just taking equity in valued fairly and buying BTC, that's a great way to think about this. And even up to 10% leverage is super conservative. If you take the CAGR of Bitcoin, which over the last, say, 3 or 4 or 5 years has been around 20, 25, 30%, you add it to debasement, most of these companies can comfortably take somewhere between 25 and 30% leverage. If they're taking more, it will end in tears. So one of the things I always tell investors is look at the leverage ratio. If I'm levered 10 to 1, this is never going to work. If I'm levered 22%, if I'm levered 17, I think, which is where strategy's at, something like that, that's a great leverage ratio. And you should be able to get through winters and summers with the CAGR of Bitcoin. So that's the insight. What's the leverage?
Yeah, I mean, I think in the UK we're still at baby level, and we're not leveraging anything at this moment in time. We're literally raising, going up on euphoria, and buying again. So that is stage two. What I saw, and this was my own methodology, is there's maybe going to be three stages to these companies. You're going to have the first stage, which is now, and basically, buy some Bitcoin, raise, buy some Bitcoin, raise, buy some Bitcoin to a reasonable level. Then you're going to have to either have a business that's revenue producing or create something that's revenue producing, because Bitcoin isn't revenue producing. And then thirdly, you're going to add some leverage onto that because you have revenues, not because you have the Bitcoins. And I think if those companies go through that stage, then you're going to create some billion-pound companies, multi-billion pound companies, I think.
I agree.
So my question is Tiger going to be a billion-pound business in the next 5 years?
I think if our strategy is correct, which is crypto plus AI is a winner, the answer is yes. So we are in baby steps. We're early stage on that. I think the winning strategy in crypto is AI plus crypto. And I think if we're right, the answer is yes.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, just about a bit about sort of sentiment, because obviously, it's no secret that you were the founder member, or one of the founder members of Argo Blockchain, and we saw how well that did. As you say, you alluded to that earlier on. But how you said at the top there that you start early, you're up, you're working London hours, you're hardworking, you're consistent. But how confident are you and passionate are you about growing Tiger to be something like, even at half the scale of Argo, would be a massive success?
Well, this is where you get into the deep psychology of people. So I'm not going to bring my wife on this podcast, but if you ask my wife, why do I do it? It's because I'm a degenerate lover of business. So I just love raising money. I love building business. I love creating shareholder value. I do not have to do this. I choose to do this, and I choose to do it because I freaking love it. And so passion is, and drive, and obviously as a father of three kids, I think about this all the time, as you guys probably do. How is that? How does that manifest itself? In my world, it manifests itself as someone who really likes to work and build value and win the game of business. And so I'm really competitive. And when I say I'm going to do something, I do it.
Yeah, that's
The
a great
game,
answer.
it's a game of Monopoly. I must get you to read a book, Jonathan. I've read it like 8 times now, but it's When the Game Is Over, It All Goes Back in the Box
Okay.
by John Ortberg.
I'll take a look at it.
I'll
Thank you.
take a look, or send me your address and I'll send you a copy of it.
Well, Monopoly, I mean, my favorite fact about Monopoly, if you read the rules, there's a set amount of houses and hotels and properties, right? But the bank can never run out of money. It runs out of notes you write down on pieces of paper.
Yes,
Genuinely,
exactly.
notes. And the whole point of the game was to like prove that capitalism, in a fiat system doesn't work, and eventually one person has everything. But I do find it's, as we get more esoteric in terms of when we talk about like what money actually is, you have fiat currencies just, collapsing in terms of value. Like even the US dollar, forget this year, just look at it over the past 50 years or 100 years, right? And we talk about the Bitcoin price rising. Is the Bitcoin price actually rising, or is gold rising, or are the fiat currencies collapsing? That's the actual question. And then the bigger question for me, kind of like when you look really far in the future, If US dollar does fail because of the debt ceiling, or because their deficit becomes impossible to service, or because, for whatever reason, how do you value Bitcoin when it's primarily valued in the world's other reserve currency? And I guess that's a question for Jonathan. I mean, when you're looking, because that's your thesis, right? Eventually, it'll have to crash.
Yeah, I mean, do we have another 3 hours on this podcast to discuss this stuff? Because
Don't know. I don't know.
I love,
No.
I honestly, guys, I think about this 24/7. Like, I've read every book on this. I would summarize it, Charles, as follows, which is, I don't believe in the next 20 years that the US system is going to collapse. Why? They have the biggest army, the biggest navy. They're not losing dominance. But to your point, there's this really small door of people that are actually seeing what's going on in the world, right? What's actually going on? And there is going to be a rush into that small door to de-risk the 60-40 portfolio, right? And so I think that we're going to see an appreciation of Bitcoin, again, to your point, not relative, or sorry, relative to the US dollar. I don't think we see the collapse of the US system in the next 20 years, but all roads lead to the fiat system we have now is debt driven and will continue to be forever. It's the only way it works. More debt, higher debasement, higher Bitcoin. It's just inevitable. As long as Bitcoin stays decentralized and secure, it's going to win. To Kevin's point, gold and silver are going to win too. Like,
Yeah,
all these things are going to win.
I think you could see that, there is a not that they're joined together, but there is a Bitcoin gold ratio, and that's going to come into play, because those are the two things that we're now saying this is a true value. This is true value, and if this is true value, then we should have a ratio between gold and Bitcoin. If it's currently 30 to 1 or 35 to 1 or whatever, that this is the way it's going to be. But Bitcoin could also race away with that because it has a limited amount, whereas gold does not have a limited amount that we've discovered yet,
That's right. And the two insights that I would give people today if they don't believe, right, is or the two things I would say, and I said one already, but I'll repeat it, which is look at Bitcoin relative to high inflation countries. Like, take that chart and look at it. The other thing I would encourage people to do is start valuing your assets just in your brain in Bitcoin. Isn't it a weird thing to think that our houses have gone up in price over time, right? I feel richer because my house is higher. What's my house valued in Bitcoin 10 years ago, 5 years ago, and today? And it's the exact opposite. And so what I always talk to my friends about around the dinner table is just for a month, value things in Bitcoin. And it really changes your perspective on the British pounds.
I'd be very poor, Jonathan. I don't want to do that. What I would say to you is that you're talking about, the debasing in Venezuela or Egypt or whatever. Just a note to that story. When the financial problems were happening in Egypt around 2 years ago, I was trying to buy my apartment here, and my money was in the UK. I had to bring it here as gold coins to get my true value for it, because the true value was about 40 or 50% less if I'd bought British pounds and transferred to Egyptian pounds. So that's just a small analogy of what, these are things. And Bitcoin would have been the same as gold and so on and so forth. But my last question is to do with Tiger and what you think is going to happen next with the whole Teo resource and Arok.
Okay, so I'll refer to those two specifically. I think the Tau ecosystem and what we're doing on the Tiger Alpha subnet is only going to increase in velocity. And we will report to the market on a regular basis what that revenue is, how much Tau is there. That is a really exciting endeavor that is going to scale, number one. And then the Arok side, it's perfect timing for this agent, Arok, to get smarter and smarter. If I am correct on the Banana Zone and my crypto thesis, the meme coin space is going to explode, and Tiger is one of the best meme coin investors in the world. And I'm sorry, Arok is, and will continue to get better and better. So those two theses that we have around AI, agents, Tau, and crypto are incredibly solid, and I think will outlast, anything that's happening in the summer and the next winter. Those are the skill sets that I think are going to win in the market. So I'm very excited, Kevin.
And just as a follow on, you still have cash left. I mean, I think you raised 4 million, so I'm assuming you still have cash left.
I
So
do.
what are you going to be deploying it in?
So the same thesis: crypto meets meme coins meets AI. I'm very thesis-driven investor. That's the goal.
So based on a market cap of about 7 million pounds now, I think it is, where do you see yourself even short term, in the next 6 to 12 months? Are you going to have more than sufficient revenue to validate those sort of valuations?
So I can't speak to where shareholders will value us. I can speak to us putting our head down and working really hard on building revenue. And obviously 70,000 a month is pretty good after 4 weeks. And if you look at the aspirational, if we can get into the top 20 or 10, we will win. And so head down, more hard work, more investments, and enjoying life. That's the goal.
Very good. Well, it's been great talking to you, Jonathan. As you say, it's great to hear your passion shining through and how driven you are. It's great to hear. So we'll say on that note, Jonathan Bixby, CEO of Tiger Royalties and Investments, thanks very much for appearing back on the podcast.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jonathan. Keep being a workaholic, mate, because then you might make us some money.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.